Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day. If not, press on. Press on. That's all I can say. Yeah, this life can be very challenging. Press on. Press on. Those that persevere to the end shall be saved. Matthew 23, right? This is actually part two of our spiritual warfare sermon series. Did part one last week, and it's very important for you guys to watch these, or listen, not really watch them, but listen to them in sequence, because there's a kind of a progressive, in the sense of development of the series. So it's very important to listen to part one and then listen to part two. Last week we looked at spiritual warfare, the start of spiritual warfare on humanity, and looked at Genesis, and we're going to revisit Genesis again, Lord willing, not this week but next week. And because that's that passage at Genesis 3, 1 through 7, that's such an important passage there to grasp. As Christians, we need to really be familiar with, of course, the whole Bible. But within that text, there's so much going on. It gives us a lot of insight into our enemy, Satan, and how to wage a good warfare. Satan has not changed his tactics, and we're going to get really deep into that and breaking that down. But before we do that, I want to ask you, what kingdom are you in? Now, that's kind of the title sermon part of that as a question, and something you I'll encourage you to jot down. That is going to be the in the end, when this everything is said and done, hopefully you will have a understanding of what kingdom that you are in. Our principal passage, or our key passage here, and of course we'll be looking at some more passages, but is 2 Corinthians 4:6. 2 Corinthians 4:6, that's kind of our key passage. But what kingdom are you in? And as we get into that, I encourage you to jot down, there's the kingdom of God, that is the kingdom of light, and there's the kingdom of Satan, that is the kingdom of darkness. And we will explore more into these two kingdoms. And the goal is to go get through this, and then afterwards, I don't know how long this series is going to be. It could possibly be up to 13, maybe, easily, a sermon series. After this, I'm immediately going to assume that everybody that listens across this point, they are children of God. So that's why I always encourage to go back and listen to part one and then part two. And then, of course, as we progress, I'm encouraged to go back and listen to the whole series sermon. If it's 13, it'll be almost 13 hours of sermons on spiritual warfare. I don't charge for this. I'm, of course, under attack by the enemy, so keep me in your prayers. Going into spiritual warfare, I engage in spiritual warfare because there is somebody out there that needs to hear this. And what you're seeing, a lot of churches, they really don't preach on spiritual warfare. They avoid the topic. I know around here, when I was growing up in the church, I could rarely ever, and I... When I was a kid, I was in church so many days is like almost 3 or 4 days a week. I remember as a kid, I was like, we're going to church. But all during my childhood into my teenager, and then, of course, I started rebellion, I do not remember one sermon preached on spiritual warfare. So, and that's a sad thing. Because we have to know, especially children of God, and it's in God's word, how to handle our enemy. That is our spiritual enemy, which influences our physical enemies around us. So our scripture reading this week is 2 Corinthians 4, 6. Let's read that. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just go into this part two of spiritual warfare, God, I pray for protection over my mind, my body, as we're going into this. I pray over all the things that are going on around me. I know it's to grow me, but I pray for strength to endure this. As I go into these sermons to teach and to preach, as the Holy Spirit provides them, knowing I am, this upsets the enemy tremendously. I can feel them forces on me. Although I know the light is greater than darkness, and I know that you're allowing things to go on to shape me and form me as you need, I thank you, God, for the storms. I will praise you to them as much as I can, but you know I'm weak. Lord, I pray for those that are listening to this. I pray for those that are going to take notes and that are really going to think about these topics, these discussions, these points, a reflection, and a prep for the intensity of battles that they will face as Christians in this life. They will get more intense as the times draw nearer to your coming. We prepare our hearts, we prepare our mind for war every day, especially when we're out there reaching those with the gospel. For the enemy does not like us to trample on his territory. He does not like us to talk into the life of those that are lost, that are going to hell. For in his mind, those are his children. And he doesn't want nothing to affect his hold on them, because he knows that he is not strong as our Heavenly Father is. The light will break the hold of darkness every time. The power of God is beyond what we can imagine. Lord, we pray for those that we know that are lost. We pray for their souls today. For our hearts should be heavy for them. Even if we are not sure about them, we should definitely lift them. Keep lifting them up to you. For when this life is over, all that will ever matter is if they're yours. We know, as children of God, what's waiting for us on the other side. Something beautiful that we can't explain. But we know those that have not accepted Christ into their life, truly, what's waiting for them is utterly devastating and should be heavy on our hearts every day to speak life into those that we know they're practicing the darkness of this world, that Satan has a hold on their life. Lord, we pray we may know them by name. Let's lift them up by name. Let's put them on our prayer list and pray that the light penetrates the darkness whatever means is necessary. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name. What kingdom are you in? You know, when I look at this scripture here, 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Man, that's just think about it. Now, I've grew up in the country, and I used to go hang out in the dark, you know, as a kid. I used to love catching frogs and snakes, and I would venture off in the dark areas, in the swamp area. Have you ever been in the swamp? And it can be a intimidating area, because there's all kind of, you know, alligators and things that could cause you harm. You know, of course, I would have a little flashlight. But the amazing thing about that little flashlight is, even though the darkness would try to engulf me, I could use that little flashlight to look for little critters on the ground. Like, you know, I was always catching. It drove my mama crazy. She didn't know what I was going to bring home. But one thing, that light, that little flashlight, the darkness couldn't engulf that light. And there's power in light. And most of us can grasp that. When our power goes out, you know, we have hurricanes and tornadoes in Louisiana and other places. We need to keep those people in prayer in Florida that experienced that devastating hurricane. They probably still don't have power, or there was areas that was devastated that won't ever recover. But here, you know, when we lose power, we start realizing, you know, the importance of electricity and the importance of light. Because if I didn't have light right now, I couldn't be using my lamp here to look at my Bible, my laptop to look at my notes, all generating light. If all that went out, it'd be darkness. Of course, I would have my Bible still, and I do have a flashlight, and I still have the light inside of me, the Holy Spirit. So I would just lean on that to get us through the message, regardless of what notes I have written down here. And of course, ultimately, the Holy Spirit is the ultimate guide, the ultimate light that shines through us. But in, you know, 2 Corinthians 4:6, it says, God who commanded light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give light of knowledge of the glory of God. The glory of God, which is amazing when you think of the glory of God, is beyond what we can imagine. But here it uses a descriptive. It's in the face of Jesus Christ. If you think of a face, you know, a lot of people, we can look at somebody's face, and sometimes you can judge, or not really judge, but determine if that person is sad, happy. You know, we're looking for facial expressions. And, you know, the writer here, Paul, was of course inspired by the Holy Spirit. He's using descriptive words here, the face of Jesus Christ. For when they saw Jesus Christ, they seen God. Now, can I explain the whole Trinity and thing? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? No. We try. We know it's there. But Jesus Christ, ultimately, He is the light of the world. John 3:16-19, John 3:16-20 is one of our more popular memorized verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And usually John 3:16 is a verse that most of that's been in the church kind of has memorized. But the issue is it don't stop there. It continues. It's 17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. There's no other name that can save you than the name of Jesus Christ. And verse 18 said, he that believe in him is not condemned, but he that believe not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He speaks of this condemnation. 19 said, and this is the condemnation. We don't have to guess what John is referring to here. He's very clear on what the condemnation is. And he said, this is the condemnation, that light, Jesus Christ, the face, right? The face of Jesus Christ, the glory of God. He came into the world. He is the ultimate light. But here it said man, and you can look at that as humanity, loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And it's good to have all that memorized. Just don't memorize John 3:16 and be done with it. You need to get the whole context of what John is saying here. John is, of course, saying that God has sent his son, Jesus Christ, and this is pointing, of course, to the Savior of the world, the ultimate Lamb, right, of God. But he's saying, here's the light and here's darkness. And guess what? We have a natural tendency to pull to that darkness, to pull to that evil. It's natural for us. And verse 20 says, for everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. It were proved through who? Jesus Christ. John 8:12 here says, then spoke Jesus again to him, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus calls every one of us out of darkness into the light. It's your choice. He presents this to you. You have a choice in the matter. Now, I know God is sovereign. He already knows what you're going to do. But here's the thing. He's God. So we're going to just say he's God. He's sovereign. He knows. He knows who's going to accept him, who's going to reject him. What we do is we present the gospel to those anyway. We don't try to figure out who's going to say yes and who's going to say no. All we know that everybody has a choice to make. On that, God knows who's going to make that choice. That's God. I am not God. But I'm here to present the gospel to that person. I'm here to present that gospel to that person that's possibly lost and tell them about Jesus Christ. Tell them about the ultimate light, the kingdom of light. Because I'm not God. I can't make a choice for somebody. I am not infinite, and I am not limitless. I am finite and I am limited, meaning my capacity compared to God is nowhere compared to how brilliant, how intelligent, how great he is. I'm a mere servant, a mere ant to the holy God. He loves me, but I know my role. I know that humbles me. I don't think myself too highly than what I ought to. Jesus Christ is the ultimate light, and he calls everybody in this world. He wants to rescue them from darkness. Thank God that he rescued me from darkness. A lot of you guys may have not known this. Yeah, and if you follow the ministry, you probably have heard me give some of my testimony, and it's all for God, but I was deep into the occult. I was watching all kind of movies that were demonic. That was chilling. I could feel the demonic presence about me. I enjoyed it. I reveled in the darkness. I enjoyed the communication of the demons around me. For they gave me comfort, what I thought was comfort, but was torment. But it was God that broke that darkness, that removed those chains from my neck, and they fell to the ground. In darkness, He rescued me. In light, I am now. And I guess this one big reason I talk about spiritual warfare. I try to, you know, and we're getting around the Halloween season. And I want to warn you guys and be cautious around Halloween. Be cautious with all the decorations, the witches and the goblins, that's darkness. I want to be cautious of movies that you place before you, like this new movie, Hocus Pocus 2, is dealing, and if you guys, you know, been around, you probably have seen the first Hocus Pocus. These witches, they're wanting to eat, devour children. They need innocent children so they can kill. How is that holy? And how should me, as a Christian that is supposed to be light, wanting to subject myself to that darkness and enjoy it? The light immediately should be grieved. If you're encouraging watching these shows and you're not feeling the grief, the grieving of the Holy Spirit, because that is darkness. That is not light. And you're not feeling, and I'm not being judgmental, guys. I know at this point you're probably going to think I'm not. I'm being loving. I'm telling you, darkness shouldn't have a place in her life. And we're looking at something like that, a witch that wants to eat a child to gain youth, sacrificing children. How is that light? And we are supposed to be light. Now, and I read scriptures here. John 18:12 says, "Then spoke Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me," it says, "shall not walk in darkness, but shall have light of life." Understand, we have a natural tendency to move to darkness. But Jesus calls us out of the darkness. And of course, we have that choice and salvation, right? Salvation is one of those key principle that doctrines that we should understand. We should have a firm grip. We shouldn't be sitting here scratching our head trying to figure it out. And of course, you can start where with John 3:16, 17, 18, 19, 20. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ was given to this world. He was born of a virgin, Virgin Mary, right? And he came through the miracle. God placed His hand on that womb, and Jesus became in her womb. And and she gave birth to Jesus Christ, this baby in the manger. I know, man, it's crazy, and it's like, wow, how could that happen? I can't tell you exactly how that works, but my God can do that. If you can wrap your head around the virgin birth, there's nothing you cannot believe that our God cannot do. The God that created this universe in six literal days is nothing for God to place that child, Jesus Christ, which was God in flesh, in the womb. The baby who came out of the womb, who had to be nurtured It had to be cared for. That infant child that Mary and Joseph had to raise. Looking at the face of God. Mary knew there was something different about this child. Joseph too. But you believe in that birth, right? Believe his faith. And you believe that he grew, and we recognize who he is, the Son of God, the Word in flesh, fully God, fully human. And we recognize that he was a fulfillment, a prophecy in the Old Testament of the coming Messiah, starting with Genesis 3:15, where he speaks after the sin is that comes into this world. There is the promise of the Messiah that will come, that will start correcting the error of Adam and Eve's failure, which we are all part of. We are born to sin. Jesus Christ had to come and die for the sins of the world. We believe in the crucifixion, and he was dead on that cross, and he had to be, the blood had to be spilled. Hebrews 9:22 says, almost all things are by law purged with blood, pointing to the Old Testament. And so without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. John 1:29 says, the next day John sees Jesus coming unto him. He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. John seeing Jesus, he knew this was the prophecy fulfilled, that he would have to go to that cross, and he would have to face that tragic day where he would have to give his life for this world, because there he was, that perfect Lamb. All the lambs in the Old Testament, well, there was band-aids placed on it, for they had to keep doing it over and over again. But the Lamb of God will take away the sins of the world. We don't have to worry about animal sacrifices, because the blood that was spilt for us is that remission, that is that atonement. And we know that he was taken from the cross and placed in the tomb, and we know that third day he rose from the grave. Romans 10:8-11 says, but what saith the word is nigh thee, that's near thee, in thy mouth, right, in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Paul saying here in Romans, and I take Paul as the author, the physical author of Romans, but he says, which we preached. He said, we have preached this. And we preach it today, and that's what I'm preaching now to you. So that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has risen him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Right? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And for the scripture said, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. That faith. That's belief. That's faith. That is that belief in what has happened. The birth. The death. Right? That crucifixion. The resurrection. You believe that with everything you got. And when you do, that opens your heart to Jesus Christ, and he comes flooding in like a river. That's the Holy Spirit coming into your body. Oh, sweet Holy Spirit, his presence is real, I promise you. I feel it coursing through my bones. The Holy Spirit comes into your life. This light floods you. It changes you. That is that changing. That changes John 3:1. If you read John 3:1 and all the way down to 7:8, whatever, you can read that whole chapter. He speaks of that born again experience. That is being born again. That is the Holy Spirit renewing you. The old man or the old self is no longer, and you are new in Christ. And when this newness takes place, this is a renewing. He gives you a new heart. I'm going to tell you, when He gives you a new heart and the Holy Spirit's in your life, your mind, we still have this dual struggle with flesh. But the thing is, the Holy Spirit is now there to grab onto you and to correct you, to guide you, to direct you. He will convict you, chasten you, scourge you. I want to tell you, if you look at scourging, it's devastating. If you look at what they did to Jesus Christ, and they scourged Him, they placed Him on that beam, and they took a whip with leather straps, and they had bones and shards of glass in it, and it would rip the skin. I'm going to tell you, if you're feeling the scourging of the Holy Spirit, you won't be walking around with a big smile on your face. When you're indulging in the works of darkness, or you're trying to indulge, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit came in my life, He changed me, and I cannot watch the stuff I used to watch without feeling dirty and filthy. And I pray that you're that way, because the stuff that I see people watching and professing to know Jesus, I scratch my head and say, how can they do that? Especially the darkness around Halloween time. How do they inundate themselves with the horror and the gore and don't feel filthy? And I'm not trying to make you mad at me. I'm just saying, light. If you are part of the kingdom of light, and that is God, that's the Holy Spirit in your life, you will not want to walk in the darkness of this world. And of course, ultimately, the scripture is our guiding point here. And now, you may not like what I'm telling you. Jot down scripture. Go back, listen to these scriptures. Jot them down. Go back to God's word and explore them for yourself. You're saying, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to look at God's word and see how to measure my life by God's word. I'm hard to tell you, if you have that attitude, you're not part of the kingdom of light. You're a part of the kingdom of darkness. Because I know I am not perfect, I promise you. But I strive to live my life according to God's word. I can get in the flesh, I can lose my temper, I can say stupid stuff. I got Viking blood and knight blood in me. Viking blood is crazy. To my lineage goes back to the Vikings, and I can get a temper. I'm not proud of it, but it's just what it is. But thank God for the Holy Spirit that holds me back, and when I do get a line, he works me over, and I thank God for that, because I need to be worked over. I need that correction. That lets me know that I am a child of God through that correction. But go back to scripture. John 17, 14 through 9. Actually, let's go to John 15 first. And let's look at John 15, 18 through 19. If the world hate you, You know it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. His own, speaking of Satan. This is Satan's world. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. This world is going to hate you if you're a child of light. Don't expect to be popular with the world. John 17:14-19 says, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Even as I am not of the world, you say, I am not of this world. They hate me. And I pray not thou shalt be taken out of the world, but thou shalt keep them from the evil. There's that word evil again. That they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth and the word of truth. The word of truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also send them into the world. And for thy sake I sanctify myself, and they also might be sanctified through the truth. I want to tell you, look at this recurring word, truth, truth, truth. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the way, right? There is no other bridge to the Father except through Jesus Christ. He is the truth. He lights our ways. Thought of a devil of scripture to trying to find it. But it's in John, is, you know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to Jesus except through the Father. Or maybe if I didn't quote that right. But I hate when I do that, but oh, here it is. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes unto the Father that Nobody comes to the Father but by me. Nobody comes to God except through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Don't let nobody tell you there's multiple ways to the Father, because there isn't. Jesus Christ is that bridge. The cross is that bridge. Jesus Christ has made that way to the Father. And when we come to Jesus Christ, we're coming to the Father. When we're recognizing what happened at the cross, and we're recognizing what happened at the resurrection, we recognize what He has done for us, and we know there is no other way except through Jesus Christ. John 18:36. Through 37 says, and Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of the world, then would my servants fight? I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. And Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou say I thou am a king. This end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, and I shall bear witness unto the truth. There's that word again, truth. And everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. When we are part of the light, we are going to love God's word. We are going to be in God's word daily and seeking His direction, seeking His way. It won't be, should not be something that we're struggling with, studying God's word, because it just amazes me on the lack of studying God's word among our churches. And I want to tell you, people who truly would study God's word, they would, and be in tune with the Holy Spirit, they would pick up on people that are wolves in sheep clothing. They're spouting this feel-good gospel that is beyond God's word, that are telling them that they can achieve everything they desire, they can have the best life now, that God is a genie in a bottle and they just have to rub and make their wishes. This feel-good positive psychology gospel that is running rampant in the church, and I'll tell you, it's the vein of Satan that has infected our churches, especially here in America. But Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. I'm going to tell you, God is through his word, through Jesus Christ, that he says the kingdom is not of this world. So if you want to be part of this world, you want to conform to this world, you don't want the things of God's word, you don't seek his counsel through his scripture, you don't want to pray about your directions in your life, I'm tell you, you're not part of the kingdom of light. You're a part of the kingdom of darkness. If you do not love truth, and I'll tell you, write these scriptures down. John 17, 14 through 19. John 15, 18 through 19. John 17, 14 through 19. John 15, 18 through 19. John 18, 36 through 37. You're like, I don't want none of this. I don't care about your scriptures, man. I'm going to do my thing. You're going to do your thing, all right. But if you die tonight with that attitude, you don't get heaven. The word tells us contrary to what you're feeling right now. And I'll tell you this to make you mad at me. I just want to tell you the truth because I love your soul too much not to. Satan has found out a long time ago that it's easy to destroy the church from inside and outside. He brings in false converts, pastors, evangelists. They are numerous. And those that are preaching the truth are like me or few in between. These false converts or these false preachers, they have infected the church. And the thing is, the members, they love them. They want to keep them. They will give them everything they got. They will sell their deeds to their home. Because why? Satan is a master deceiver. Never think Satan is not. John 8, 44 says, ye of you, this is Jesus speaking. He's speaking to the Pharisees of his time. And we should have knew better. There were the religious group, one of the religious group of the time. They should have known better that here Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah of prophecies in the Old Testament, but they're blind and rebelling against the truth, and they should have known better. And Jesus speaks out and says, ye are of your father, the devil. The lust of your father ye will do. I tell you, Jesus Christ would not be received very well in most churches here. If he came out and said, you are the father, the devil, the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and dwell not in the truth. This is pure darkness because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. For he's a liar and the father of it. Father of the lies. He's pointing to Satan. He's pointing to the devil. He's pointing to the father of lies. He's pointing to the fallen one. The devil, he's a murderer from the very beginning. There is no truth in him because he is darkness. Jesus Christ provides enough details about our adversary, the devil. enough to let us know that he is a murderer, he's a liar, and there's no truth in him, and he's none but evil. And he's comparing the Satan to these religious guys, these religious minds of the day. You want to get slapped in the face? You don't think Jesus was controversial? Get it? Yeah. You haven't read the Bible. This would have been a slap across their face when you think they wanted him dead. He was basically calling them children of Satan, part of the kingdom of darkness. Never think Satan is a joke. I promise you, he is smarter. He's an excellent military strategist. If we're just, and we're going to get more deeper into this, you just look at Genesis 3, right? Adam and Eve, the first two human beings. God created Adam and Eve, the creation. He said it was good. And when God said it was good, it was beyond what we could imagine. Excellent, superb, amazing. No curse, no sin, no pain, no sorrow. And they got to live in this garden, and they didn't have to worry about anything other than taking care of the garden, which would have not been an issue, and to have children. And I always say there is no reason not to think they were not highly intelligent. Well, what happened? They got wrapped up in Satan's trap because why? He is a master deceiver. Why? Because they were not following God's word and living the word every day. And we can run into the same issues. God's word is key, guys. Knowing the Bible, memorizing scriptures. You may say, I don't want to do that. I don't have time to do that. You're falling for the trap. Because when we're not in daily studying of God's word and seeking him. And I'm talking about hours, guys. I ain't talking about 5 minutes and then you go off the rest of the day and blending in with your friends and cussing at work and doing whatever you want to do. No, I'm talking about letting God's word flood you like a river every day. Bringing to your knees. I don't tell you. Our churches here in America are not doing that. Majority of them have compromised. Because that's inconvenient. That ain't what they want to do. That ain't what they want to hear. And give us these guys that will make us feel good about ourselves, that are tickling our ears. Meanwhile, God is looking down and he is about done. Can he change? Can the course of history be reversed? Yes. When it comes to salvation and redeeming a nation, that can happen. Doesn't change God's plan of coming back, because that's coming. It just means we'll be on the right side of the light when it happens instead of the darkness. But I want to tell you, John 10:10 tells us the thief comes not but to kill, steal, to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan is a thief, guys. Just think about it. You're in your bed at night and you're in your comfortable pillow. Maybe the fan or it's getting cooler around here. So you might not need the AC. You may have a sound system that's playing background noise to help you sleep. Maybe the rain falling from the rainforest. I love listening. I put my little earplugs in at night and listen to rainfall like at night in rainforest. It helps me sleep. But there's a person lurking outside. He wants to break in. His eyes are full of murder. He wants to see your blood run red and take everything you have. He wants to murder you, your wife, and if you have children, all your children. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to kill. He wants to steal. He wants to destroy you. But you don't have to. John 10, the other part of John 10 says, I, that's Jesus, says, I come that they may have, they might have lived, and that they may have more abundant, or they come that they might have life, and that they may have it more abundant. See, Satan doesn't have nothing on God. When we are part of the light, we will have trials, tribulations in this life. What Jesus tells us in John. Be of good cheer. He has overcome the world. And we will face things in this life. And it will be devastating on one level or another. The level of devastation is all really depends on how America will line back with God's word or not. But if it doesn't, and we keep lining with darkness, us standing for God's word will be ultimately persecuted on a level that has never been seen in America. Our brothers and sisters in other countries, they are experiencing that. They are being imprisoned for their faith. They are being killed for their faith. They're being tormented and raped for their faith. Don't think it's not happening, and never think it won't happen here. But here's the thing, what kingdom are you in? That is the ultimate and closing question here. What kingdom are you in? Are you in the kingdom of light? Are you in the kingdom of darkness? The light represents Jesus Christ. Come to the kingdom of God is to recognize the birth, the death, and the resurrection, right? And letting the Holy Spirit flood your life that dramatically changes. Yes, we begin this sanctification process, that meaning we are becoming more like Jesus through this refining of things that we have to experience. We're not ever going to be truly 100% perfect, but there's things in our life that we have to go through for God to shape us and to mold us in the disciples that he needs us to be. And yes, he will allow the devil to attack us on one level or another, to grow us, to develop us for his greater good. So we have to keep that in mind, and that don't get preached, that people don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that they may have to face trials and tribulations, that we may have to face difficult times, and this is a shaping, a refining of our faith to grow us to be that warrior that God needs us to be. They don't want to hear that. They just want to hear a comfortable gospel where they don't have to suffer any. But I want to tell you, when you look at the disciples, all of them, the original 12, minus Judas, well, he suffered, the one that portrayed Jesus, he killed himself. And if you look through history, the ones that have given their life to Jesus Christ through standing on God's word, are you willing to stand on God's word if it costs you your life? I want to tell you, if you can't even spend a few hours studying your Bible a day, I almost guarantee you probably won't be willing to say, I'm all in. If you can't spend a few hours in prayer a day, you probably won't be able to if it came down to giving your life for Jesus Christ, you probably won't be able to do it. I'm just speaking in reality here. And you might be like, I ain't going to listen to you. I don't even want to hear what you're spouting, bro. You don't have to. I wish you would. Because if you're going against the scripture and you don't have to take my word, just go back to these scriptures, write them down, cross-reference them. Don't take my word for it. Break down God's word and you say, oh, I don't have time. I am too busy. I want to tell you, if you're too busy for that, you are, that Satan has you right where he's got you. And I don't care how much you want to profess that you know Jesus, you don't know Jesus. For Satan has you wrapped in the chains, in denial, in the kingdom of darkness. Are you? And when you die, if tonight was your last night, you will not get heaven, you will get hell. You are the kingdom of darkness, not light. For light seeks truth. Light wants to know more and study more and seek God's direction more. Not mean we're not going to have this fighting the flesh. I fight my flesh daily. I have to die daily. Are you dying daily? Are you just gulging in the flesh and loving it? How's Halloween? Enjoying the filth of the world? The vulgarness of the filth of Halloween? Watching movies like Hocus Pocus that glorifies demonic witchcraft? You say, oh, you went too far now. Oh, I promise you I haven't went far as I could go. Galatians 5 simply tells us, and I'll use this. It speaks to the works of the flesh, and we'll get more into the works of the flesh. It says witchcraft. And in the end, Paul has a very end. Go back to Galatians 5. I'm not making stuff up here. I'm using scripture. Go to Galatians 5. Start at verse 1. Read that whole chapter down. He speaks of witchcraft, and at the very end, so those that practice those, or those are doing these, Paul says, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Meaning you are not part of the kingdom of God. You're not part of the kingdom of light. And if you're not part of the kingdom of light, then you are part of the kingdom of darkness. And we'll tell you, that can be rough. But I do this with love in my heart for you. I do this with conviction in my heart to tell you the truth because I love you too much not to. You may not have heard a preacher around here preaching like this. You may not even want to care to hear it. But if you're hearing this message and you reject it, that's going to be on you. For you heard the truth. And you choose to reject it. At this point, you know, this, you know, sermon is basically, what kingdom are you? Are you part of the kingdom of light and part of the kingdom of darkness? At this point, when we start going into these other sermon series, you know, 3 and 4 and whatever, I'm not going to heavily, I may mention salvation. I probably will, because salvation is critical. But I'm going to pretty much assume everybody that at this point, they have made their choice. So I always encourage to go back, look at the scripture, and go back to listen, you know, one. And of course, this is the second one, and there will be a third one. But at this point, you know, we're going to start looking and getting deeper into spiritual warfare. Understanding how the enemy operates, and how us as children of God, what we have at our disposal, mainly the armor of God. If you're not part of the light, you will not have disposal of the armor of God. If you're not liking what I'm had to tell you, you decided just whatever. You don't have the protection of the armor of God. You have to be a child of God to have the armor of God. Without that, the devil has you in his grips. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to get into your word. Lord, I pray that whoever's listening to this, I know this is heavy, convicting. I can feel it. I know majority will not really enjoy this. And when I have to preach like this, I don't enjoy it in the sense of I know what's being preached out there. And I know the compromise in majority of churches. And they're just not hearing these kind of messages. Because the boldness of speaking God's truth is lacking. And there's many that have compromised. And this compromise will be more revealed as we get closer and closer to the coming of Jesus Christ. They will compromise on things that will be direct violation of Scripture, such as marriage between a man and a woman. There ain't no way they can twist the Scripture to make it not say what God's Word has says the marriage between a man and a woman. They'll try it. But Scripture's going to be very clear. At that point, those are already conformed to this false gospel will not have a problem stepping right on board with it. And they will align right with the Antichrist, the one world religion, which will line up with the one world government. And the mark of the beast will not even be hard for them to take. For Satan is a master deceiver, and he is deceiving many. But we know that you can break the chains of darkness that people have allowed to wrap around their neck, and they can fall to the ground. For your light is brighter. Your power is dynamite. It can rattle, it can shake. Lord, we lift those that are listening right now, Lord. They made it through this whole hour or so, Lord. Praise Jesus. If he gives them a think and they're going back and looking at Scripture, praise you for your holy name is great. And thank you for letting me be the messenger to give this. For one comes to you just through this, I'm not an elegant speaker, and I'm just a humble servant of God. That's beautiful. One soul is saved, you get the glory. I may never know, and I don't need to. All I know is you're God, and you're powerful, and your will be done. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Y'all have a good night.